to thank all that are along for this meeting this evening, and now for the final portion. It'll be a gospel meeting. And in keeping with that, I'd like to read with you two verses from the Bible, please. One in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. This afternoon, in speaking, I referred to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and it hasn't left my mind since, so let's read Acts 4 and 12. The Apostle Peter is speaking. He's speaking to Israel's leaders. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read these words. Peter is speaking about the Lord Jesus, and he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If you would please, turn back to the Old Testament. We'll turn to the book of Exodus and look at a beautiful picture known to every man and woman, likely every boy and girl here tonight. We have truths in the New Testament of which there are pictures of these truths in the Old Testament. I'm thinking of Exodus chapter 14. Just part of a verse. Now the words of Moses. The story is the children of Israel have come to the Red Sea. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now may God bless this word to us. Old Testament truths, or New Testament truths, Old Testament pictures. All of you know tonight this lovely little story of the Red Sea. I just want to look at it for a few moments in a very simple way. I'm going to ask you to think with me of three things in relation to what we've read here. The story, very simply, as you know, is this, that there's this great number of people. Behind them is a land of slavery. Ahead of them is a land of promise, the land that God had promised these people. Leaving the one and trying to go to the other, they encounter the Red Sea. I love the pictures of the Old Testament, and I'm going to just apply it this way. Here we are tonight in this world, and I'd like to tell you that the world, with all of its problems, one day we're all going to leave. We could tell you from the Bible there is another place. God's place. A place that we call heaven. Likely tonight, everybody in the meeting would gladly like to get to this place. So I ask you to consider with me three things in light of what we have read. And number one, I want to think for a moment or so of the situation that they face. I'll ask you to think of the sight that they saw. I'll ask you to think of the salvation that they knew. And what is the situation that they face? Well, very simply, it's this. Behind them, there's a land that there's nothing but slavery and sorrow, and they want out of it.
Ahead of them is this wonderful land of promise, and they want to be there. But suddenly, they face this Red Sea. Will you, in light of this little story, which you all know, consider this with me for a moment? Number one, between them and the place they want to be, there is an obstacle that they cannot deal with. In other words, there's a problem. There's an obstacle between them and the place they want to reach. Could I tell you, in light of the story, which again, I'm confident you all know, not only an obstacle between here and there, but an enemy that's fast approaching, because the Egyptian army with Pharaoh is coming, and coming quickly. An obstacle ahead and an enemy behind. And then, in light of the circumstances, now this particular area of Egypt, were we to go back in history before there's any Suez Canal and everything else, you'd understand this. They have nowhere to go. It's just the empty wilderness of Egypt. And Pharaoh says that, and Pharaoh knows that. Left or right makes no difference to Pharaoh. Whichever way they turn, I've got them. Three little thoughts then. An obstacle ahead, an enemy behind, and an emptiness around. Would I remind you just quickly tonight of this? Between you here upon earth and this wonderful place called heaven that's in the Bible, I would assure you from the Bible tonight that there is an obstacle that every single one of us has to face. There is a barrier, can I say, between earth and God's heaven. There is a barrier that we can't face and can't cross and can't remedy. And all I'm saying is this. Sooner or later, we have to face the problem that the Bible calls sin. Because if sin is not remedied here, there'll be no heaven at the end of the road. Why did I read to you Acts chapter 4, verse 12? Because above all tonight, it's not stories I want to tell you. But the tremendous beauty and truth of the Bible is this. God knows the obstacle between ourselves, between here and there. God knows all about the problem of sin. So when I read to you, neither is there salvation in any other, could I tell you tonight that the God who knows the problem of sin is the God who loves every one of us? And He's the one that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. No, friends, think with me just for a moment tonight. An obstacle between here and there. An obstacle we call sin. It is the verdict of the Word of God that we're all sinners. And it's not your opinion of sin or my opinion of sin that matters. As by one man sin came into the world, Romans 5 and 12. Death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Sin is something that's touched every single one of us, from the oldest to the youngest. And again, let me say, it's the obstacle that must be cleared up, and must be cleared up while we're here upon earth. Face the problem between ourselves and God's heaven. Did I say an enemy coming? Our brother was just telling us about a lion, about an enemy that's on our tracks. I would remind you tonight just of these two things. Death is coming. And perhaps those Israelites might have looked back and seen the great Egyptian army coming towards them. I don't know if anybody said so, but they must have thought death is coming. They're coming to get us. Now, just quickly, we're only traveling through this world for a very little time. Death is on the track of every single one of us. When does death catch up to us? Well, very well, you can think, you know, when you're old, 70, 80, perhaps old as 60 or 50, I'm not sure. But you know that death comes earlier than that, don't you? There isn't a boy or a girl in this meeting tonight who with any degree of confidence can say you'll be here in another year, or another month, or another week, or another day. We don't know when death will come. Death is coming. I would remind you again that Satan is associated with it. And I would tell you that it's the will of Satan. Not that you should ever reach God's heaven, but that you stay in your sin, stay unsaved. Because you see, Pharaoh wants these people back in the bondage of Egypt. The one that we call the devil or Satan just wants you for his service until your day is over and your soul will be lost in hell, if that were true. Did I mention the emptiness around? Boys and girls, tonight, will you understand something? This enemy behind knows they can't go ahead. Left or right, it matters not which way they turn. I've got them. Might I tell you tonight that faced with the wonderful picture of salvation that this is, you turn away anyway. And Satan can say, I've got them. What's to the right or what's to the left? What's the picture? The picture is of a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, who, confronted with the reality of sin, the obstacle, says, I'll go this way or that way. I'll turn from it, but I won't face it. And what's this way or that way? It's the world. Many a young person has sat in a gospel meeting, knowing they should be saved. They said, not now. But listen, I said to you, it's an emptiness, it's a desert. There's nothing there to satisfy or meet a need. And the old enemy coming behind says, I've got them. You turn from God's message of salvation. And there's an enemy that gleefully says, you just keep on turning. I'll catch you one day. But I'm going to very quickly give you five things about this little picture. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now again, I'm thinking of this. Not so much the Red Sea, not so much the picture of Moses and the people. Oh, I'm thinking tonight of Christ and I'm thinking of Calvary. I'm thinking of the salvation that's in the Lord Jesus. But here are my five things just very quickly. Number one, children, you sing, how did Moses cross the Red Sea? Number one, I'll tell you that the way across was a God-provided way. Oh, we read of what God did to make an opening through the Red Sea. But I don't read of what Moses did to make any opening or anybody else. It's God who did it. I would tell you tonight that there is one way whereby the problem of the barrier between ourselves and God's heaven can be dealt with. And it's not based upon anything you or I can do. It is altogether based upon what God has done. May I remind you again that there's a God in heaven, loves you, and as we said, God so loved the world. Salvation is of the Lord. Might I remind you as well, not only is it a God-provided way, But as I read the little story of the Red Sea, and as you know it, there's only one way. I don't read of these people having a choice. Take this path through the water or that path through the water. I only know of one. You know what that's telling us? Go to your Bible. Go to your New Testament. Children, you know these verses. I am the door, says the Lord Jesus. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the way, says the Lord Jesus, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm simply saying to you that the way into God's heaven, the way the obstacle, the problem can be taken away, is number one, provided by God, and it's a single way. It's only through that wonderful work that was done at Calvary, where the Lord Jesus gave himself and faced the judgment of God. One way and one way only. Sometimes, perhaps not often enough, we sing, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way than this. I shall near reach sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. One way, younger people, will you think of it tonight? A God-provided way, younger people, will you think of it tonight? Could I tell you, in light of this little story, that it is a temporary way? I do not believe, and you don't believe, that the waters of the Red Sea had been opened 10 years before. I don't believe, and you don't believe, that the waters of the Red Sea are opened 10 years after this story. No, listen. There is a time period when the waters are open and there's a way through. It wasn't there before and it won't be there later. What am I saying to you? I am saying this to you, that on the cross of Calvary, the Son of God who had come down from heaven, the Lord Jesus, sinless, holy, unblemished, unspotted Lamb of God, he went to the cross to pay the price to satisfy all the requirements of a holy God. He's provided the one way of salvation. It's available tonight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You'll find out one day that it's no longer available. Perhaps I could just ask you to consider, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door and you began to stand without and to knock, will you remember it won't always be available? Were you to die in your sins, there'd be no opportunity of salvation. If you turn away from God's wonderful offer, friend, listen, your soul could be lost forever. It's a temporary way. Could I just suggest to you from this little story that you know so well, not only now then a God-provided way, a single way, a temporary way, I would say it's a sufficient way. What do I mean by that? Sufficient way? I think of all of these people. I wonder how many there were. I don't know. I think of all of these people with Moses. Millions, it's been suggested, several million. I don't read of any one of them saying, I couldn't make it. Oh, very well for Moses and the half a dozen with him, but I couldn't make it. It seems to me that this way that God provides is sufficient for all these people to get through. Oh, could I tell you tonight the wonderful thing about what the Lord Jesus did on the cross is this. It's sufficient for every sinner. There isn't anybody in this meeting tonight who can say, well, I'm too old for salvation, because you're not. I would likewise say this. There's no one in this meeting tonight who can say, I'm too young for salvation. Because you're not, if you think that way. There's no one in this meeting tonight who could say, well, it's all very well for you, but because of my particular culture or background, is no good for me. Listen, friend, it's the only thing, and it's for everyone. Oh, listen, the sufficiency of the Red Sea. Moses and those that were with him, they all went across. I would tell you tonight, however many there were here, I would tell you that there are going to be millions of individuals one day in the wonderful place that's called heaven with the Lord Jesus. And they'll be there on this basis. They realize the problem of their sin before God. They realized that there was nothing that they could do about the problem of their sin. And they came to realize God has provided the remedy when he gave his son to die on Calvary's cross. Oh, the sufficiency of the way through the Red Sea. Might I remind you of the sufficiency of what's called the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Is there anybody tonight and there's some sin on your mind and you think, well, there's no remedy for this? I've met people like that. I would tell you tonight there is no sin that the blood of Christ can't take care of. Big or little, whatever, God knows them all. God loves you. And you rest upon this fact that God loves you and that work upon Calvary. When the Lord Jesus cried, finished. I would believe all is done. I would believe God is satisfied. Heaven is satisfied. Now God can offer salvation to any sinner and every sinner. Might I suggest to you tonight from this little story, there are people that came later. They didn't make it. There's people that come later. They didn't get across. What was life for the Israelite was death for the Egyptian. What do I mean by that? What was life for the Israelite was death for the Egyptian. Oh, I mean this. There's a passage in our Bible. It's Revelation chapter 5 I'm thinking of. I can see heaven resounding with the voices of praise and thanks to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, for what he did at Calvary. But sad to say, there's another side to this. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus. In telling a story, I'm thinking of Luke 16 now, where there is a man told, son, remember. And it seems to me, because the story is of a man who's lost, the story is of a man, for him there's no hope. And if those words mean anything, they mean this. That he'd be able to look back and realize opportunities that he had. But he'll never be saved. And I wonder, friend, when I say there's sufficiency for life for the one, death for the other. I'm simply thinking of other passages now. Heaven filled with those thanking God for his son upon Calvary. And I wonder if there won't be, on the other hand, this awful reality of hell and the lake of fire, and a group of people who will be remembering, I should have been saved. I could have been saved. But I didn't get saved. The Israelites passed through. The Egyptians die. On the other bank, we find these people singing the praise of God. We're going to close by singing, I will sing of my Redeemer. And thank God for the Lord Jesus. But I'll ask you to consider again tonight. Peter sang, neither is there salvation in any other. none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And friend, must be saved means must be saved if you're going to be in God's heaven. Shall we pray?